Now, I wanted to start with the question, when was the last time you were called childish? For kids like me, being called childish can be a frequent occurrence. Every time we make irrational demands, exhibit irresponsible behavior, or display any other signs of being normal American citizens, we are called childish. Which really bothers me. After all, take a look at these events. Imperialism and colonization, world wars, George W. Bush. Ask yourself, who's responsible? Adults! Now, what have kids done? Well, Anne Frank touched millions with her powerful account of the Holocaust. Ruby Bridges helped to end segregation in the United States. And most recently, Charlie Simpson helped to raise 120,000 pounds for Haiti on his little bike. So as you can see evidenced by such examples, age has absolutely nothing to do with it. The traits the word childish addresses are seen so often in adults that we should abolish this age discriminatory word when it comes to criticizing behavior associated with irresponsibility and irrational thinking. Thank you. Then again, who's to say that certain types of irrational thinking aren't exactly what the world needs? Maybe you've had grand plans before, but stopped yourself thinking, that's impossible, or that costs too much, or that won't benefit me. For better or worse, we kids aren't hampered as much when it comes to thinking about reasons why not to do things. Kids can be full of inspiring aspirations and hopeful thinking, like my wish that no one went hungry or that everything were free, kind of utopia. How many of you still dream like that and believe in the possibilities? Sometimes a knowledge of history and the past failures of utopian ideals can be a burden, because you know that if everything were free, then the food stocks would become depleted and scarce and lead to chaos. On the other hand, we kids still dream about perfection. And that's a good thing, because in order to make anything a reality, you have to dream about it first.
Did you hear that? In order to make anything a reality, you have to dream about it first. A really impressive young lady, wouldn't you say? She offered up a great place for us to start, to get into this day. Good morning, Jacob's Well. My name's Peter. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's great to be with you again this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for giving up on that beautiful day that's developing out there and coming in here and starting the day with us, which is just fantastic. We have got a really fun day planned, and as we already have experienced, we've got all of our kids with us today, which is just fantastic. And it makes sense, because today, in our overall concept, we're going to talk a little bit about kids. But we're at the end of a five-week series that we call What If? And during this last 5 weeks, since Easter, we've been exploring by way of questioning what it is this God calls us into. What is it about this relationship and this world that God has created for us? What is it about our lives and the way that we interact with each other that we can ask some of these bigger questions? 1 week we talked about, what if love wins? What if love really was the most powerful force in the universe? What if that truly was the answer and the secret to success, if you will? We also talked about what if religion united and not divided. So much in our history and our experiences, we love to draw these lines. And you remember me talking about creating our boxes of a religion, which no matter how big we try to make them, can never be big enough to contain God. And so the whole idea of trying to put God inside a box is just a futile exercise. And so we also talked about, what if we lived it, not just believed it? I don't know about you, but there are days where I feel like I'm a tremendous hypocrite. I can talk a line with the best of them, but to actually live and practice what I literally preach, boy, that's a whole nother story, isn't it? And what is it that keeps us from living out this way that God sets before us? And finally, over the course of the last 2 weeks, you also heard Greg suggest, what if our instincts were to learn from those that we dislike? We used improv as a way to get into that, but what if What if the person, our natural first step towards somebody who we just don't agree with, we don't care for, we don't like, what if our first step, rather than to step away, was to step towards them? What if instead of saying yes, but, we said yes, and? It was a great 4 weeks of really kind of unpacking, but it really, in my mind, it's set up today and what today is all about. There's a Bible verse that, go ahead and show the slide for today's theme, which has, what if kids really did understand the kingdom of God best? And that's why we've planned this around today, so we have all of our kids in here with us to help us try and get at, what if kids really do understand this kingdom of God, this God, this relationship that we have. When we call the kingdom of God, I like to think of it, the ways in which God calls us into relationship with each other and with God, and the world that gets created as a result. That's the kingdom of God. And so today we're going to try and understand that by using this premise that kids really do have the idea. Now, where does this come from? Well, it comes from a really important verse. And Bible geeks like Greg, and I can say that because he's not here to defend himself. Bible geeks like Greg love to point out the fact that in the Gospels, there are multiple accounts of the stories of Jesus, and in particular, multiple accounts of what Jesus says. And Bible geeks like Greg and me, I'll fess up as well, our ears really perk up when the lines are very consistent from one story to the next. Each of the Gospels has its own uniqueness, but when they align, you wonder, boy, people were really paying attention when Jesus said this. And this verse right here from Luke is also found in Matthew and Mark. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. So there's something about this childlike faith that's really important. And I wonder if it isn't the way for us to try and answer some of these other big what-if questions. That maybe this childlike faith could actually be part of the key, part of the way that we can encounter and come into this relationship the way that God describes. Now, you notice that I said childlike faith, not childish, a childlike faith. And so today we've got a way of kind of exploring that. But first, before we go any further, we've got a little exercise that we need to do. I need some volunteers. I would like 6 people to come up here and join me over here back in this area right over here. I need 6 volunteers to come forward. And you don't have to raise your hands, just come forward. Oh, actually, kids, I just need adults right now, okay? So just adults. Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Thanks for coming up here, volunteering, okay? No, I need some volunteers. Okay, finally, all right. We got...
You can, right over here.
Yeah. I just need a few more volunteers. 1, 2, 3. This is pretty good, not bad. Okay. Let's see. 1, 4, 6. Okay, all right. I've got 6.
Okay. Well, we don't want to leave the kids out, right? Do you think we have 6? If you're a kid and want to come up, come on up. Come on up. Yeah, well, we're going to come on this side over here. And let's see, I can maybe move this out a little bit. Let's see.
Over there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yeah, just gather around. Okay. Just gather around.
All right.
I got more than you got. I got more than you got.
All right. Well, would you give our volunteers a big hand? Thank them for coming up. That's actually all I got for you. Heidi's got a parting gift for you. Thank you for coming up. We appreciate it. You can go back to your seats now. Grab a treat from Heidi. That's all we needed. Thank you.
Cheers.
Sir. Yep, that's it. That's it. Thank you. You did a great job.
Nice work. Oh,
you
awesome,
absolutely
awesome.
Proved my point. Hopefully it was as obvious as I was expecting it to be. But did you notice that when I asked for the volunteers, that it took a little while for the adults to get up out of their seats and come forward? In fact, there are a whole lot of you who didn't get up out of your seats and come forward, right? what was going on in your head? What were you nervous about? What expectations were being created for you? What anxieties were getting elevated for you? But boy, when Heidi stepped up and asked for her volunteers, did any of them stay in their seats for very long at all? In fact, there was some running. There was even a little pushing and shoving on the way up here. You couldn't contain the enthusiasm of the kids who were asked, had the same instruction, had the same amount of information to work from as the adults did. But you adults, and I'll confess I'd be in the same boat. Well, what's this all about? Can't you at least tell me what you're going to... Are you going to ask me to sing? Are you going to ask me to tell a story? What's this up with the microphone? This is making me nervous. I think I'll let somebody else go. I'll just sit back and wonder, and I'll watch from afar. But the kids didn't need any of that information. In fact, what information they did had probably got them a little bit excited. Right, kids? It was pretty exciting to see, maybe I'll get to sing in that microphone. Maybe I'll get to say something. Wouldn't that be awesome? My first point about kids today, and you've got it on the back of your Sunday outline. There's a little crossword puzzle for you to fill in today. You know, got some games to play with you. There's a crossword puzzle there. And you'll notice that the very first point I want to make today is that a childlike faith helps you to experience joy. Plain and simple. Those kids, when they came up, they were ready for something fun. There was nothing but fun to be had. When God created this world, he worked hard, and every day he sat back and he said, "This is good. This is really good." This world is full of goodness. There's something about kids that's what they see. They see this goodness, the possibility, the goodness that exists in every moment. And this is going to be fun. I have no idea what's going to happen next, but it's going to be fun. And if it isn't fun, I'm going to make it fun. This is fun. Joy. God calls us into this relationship and into this world to go out and experience it joyfully. Kids, help us understand what joy is. Now, for the second part, the second piece of this message, don't throw that up there just yet. We've got a special guest. I want you to help me welcome Zach Stutterford forward. He's going to help me deliver this next part of the message. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
Can you want to greet these folks?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And what are you up here to do today?
Tell people about perspective.
Perspective. You're going to tell us about perspective, huh? Okay, well, I think that's perfect. That's exactly what this group of people needs to hear. Do you have a job for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that look like to you?
You're asking me what that looks like. Okay. Well, it's not going to be too tough for me to come up with this one. Zach, that looks like a table and four chairs.
No.
It's not?
No. What does this look like? Now what does it look like?
Okay, well, I see where you're going. You've handed me a tablecloth, so, and that looks, well, obviously that's going to be a dining room table and four chairs.
No.
It's not?
No.
Well, why don't you show me what you think it is?
Okay, come help
me. I'll come help you. All right. What do we need to do?
Put the chairs over here.
Move the chairs around, okay. You want another chair on that side?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, facing like this. All right. All right. Oh, okay, we got to do the same on this side. I don't know how we're going to sit at this dining room table with the chairs facing this way. What are we going to do with the tablecloth, okay? Should I help you spread it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, let's drop that. I bet we got to drop that down. And drape it over. Okay. Wow, this is a funny looking dining room table. All right. Is that what you want? Like that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What? Where are you going? Oh.
It's a fort.
It's a fort. Oh, I get it. That's pretty cool. All right.
What does it look like now?
Okay. Well, I think I get where you're going at. Okay, Zach, I think that looks like a desk and four chairs.
No.
No, it doesn't, huh? All right. Well, what do you think it looks like?
Come and help me again.
Help you again. Okay. All right. Should we take this off? Okay. And flip this over? Oh, all right. All right. All the way over. Okay. All right. Now, and then we're gonna lay the chair. All right. Do we put them over like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And want me to do this one over too?
Yeah.
Should I lay this one down too? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what's this? What's this going to be?
The sail.
This is a sail? A sail for what?
A ship.
A ship? What kind of a ship?
A pirate ship.
A pirate ship? Oh my gosh. And are you the captain of that pirate ship?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what do you got on your ship?
Treasure.
And what are the chairs?
Cannons.
They're cannons. Oh my gosh. That is pretty cool. I'm impressed, Zach. So.
What does it look like now?
What does it look like now? All right. I know what you're asking me to do. You want me to think a little bit more creatively about this stuff. I got it. It looks like my accountant's desk. The one that he sits at when he does my taxes, and then he calls me into his office, and he always has bad news for me. And four chairs.
No, you're never going to get it.
Oh. Wow. Thanks, Zach. I think you did a fine job of teaching us this very next point. With a childlike faith, when we look at the world, children see possibility, not limitations. There's something about us as we age, as we go out and venture out into this world, and as we interact with more and more stuff, something happens when we start to really focus in on what isn't possible instead of what could be possible. This God that calls us into relationship, that wants so desperately to be with us, asks us to consider what's possible and to not worry about what's not possible. God is a God of possibility, not limitation. And what a gift that is for all of us. What a gift that is that we can be called to be people of God that live into these possibilities. Zach did a fantastic job. His fort and his pirate ship were way better than anything I could have dreamt of. And remember Adora's quote at the beginning from the video? You have to dream it before it can become reality. That pirate ship doesn't exist until Zach thinks of it and dreams of it. And that's the first step to making something possible. God calls you into this dream, calls you into relationship, and says, here is something possible for you. This is Signe, and Signe's here to help me make my last point this morning. You see, Signe doesn't know me. She just feels me right now. She can feel that I've hopefully got a good tight grip on her, and she feels safe. And, you know, she doesn't really have too much of a choice. I kind of grabbed her, took her right away from her parents, who were sitting right over there, keeping a close eye on me. But Signe has nothing else to do but trust that I'm going to care for her, that I will take care of her in this moment, that I'll try and keep her entertained, and that she trusts that I'm going to return her back to her parents at some point too. Yeah, that's right. But see, a childlike faith helps you learn to trust in another. Our kids are very trusting. In fact, as parents, we often are a little concerned that maybe they're too trusting, that maybe they'll be willing to go to strangers too readily when we don't know everything. But thanks, Signe. Let's thank Signe. yeah. But it's really about trust. And so this third point about this relationship that God is calling us into, this kingdom, this reign, this realm of God, we have to be ready to trust. We have to be able to put ourselves out there and say, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to trust that this God will wrap me tightly with strong arms and will hold me steady no matter what goes on in this world around me. You've been a child for sure. Many of you are parents. Some of you are grandparents. You know the root of that trust comes from love. Remember we said that love wins? What if love wins? Well, this is one of the chief ways in which we experience love in our lives. It's the love that a parent has for a child and a child learns to have for its parent because they trust that the parent is going to care for them and provide for them and nurture them and love them. God loves us so, so deeply. And rooted within that love is our ability to now trust. To trust that God will remain true to that promise forever. Our childlike faith prepares us to trust in another, to trust in those around us, and to trust that God will care for us. So that's my charge for you this week, Jacob's Well. You've been looking at Chinese symbols all day. Does anybody here read Chinese? If you know what that mean, what these symbols mean, there's another slide with just the symbols on it. And if you know what that symbol means, you yell it out. It's in the corner there. There it is. It means simplicity. It really comes down to this. A childlike faith is really quite, quite simple. Not simple in an unintelligent, dumb way, but simple in a very clean and very straightforward. There are no surprises. There are no hidden agendas. A childlike faith comes from a very simple place. So don't complicate things. Look for the joy. Focus on the possible. Find someone you trust. Keep it simple. That's my charge for you this week, Jacob's Well. Keep it simple. And if that is all we're able to do on this Memorial Day weekend and in the weeks and months ahead, boy, that's a pretty powerful thing. Keep your faith simple.